previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Kindred, I just, at one point I said of Kindred, because I just say, yeah. And Wilbon says, is that it? Yeah. I said, well, it was all right. And then I say, look, I'm tired of him winning these awards. I mean, we should be, I said, we have Emmys. Kindred has no Emmys. And Wilbon points out, because I've written all these things, I know this. Wilbon points out, well, it's a writing award. And I said, really, who does Kindred write for now? Golf Quarterly? Bon Appetit? I mean, stop. Really, stop.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. Once again, it is raining. Whenever you get this, we're doing this at about 7:45 in the morning at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest. And once again, as it has so often in the last 5 or 6 months, it is raining in Washington, D.C. It's not a driving, pouring rain. It's just an annoying drizzle rain that you go out in the backyard. If I don't know how many of you people throw the Frisbee to your dog in the mornings, as I do. It's mud. It's just mud. The dog eventually comes in from the house. The dog has to be dried off. Dogs, of course, they'll let you dry them off, but first they have to shake right in front of your face so that you get all the mud and water on you, and that's pretty much what happens.
Show who's in charge.
Yeah. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is away today. Claude is running the board. Kevin Sheehan is going to do a drop-by and do the news. We're very happy about that. And Sean will engineer things and make sure that we can actually get the show started. What do I have here? I have a letter here from Andrew J. Rich, who writes, I've enclosed an invitation to my Eagle Scout Court of Honor happening October 5th in Lebanon, Ohio. My dad and I are big fans of your podcast. We love to listen to you guys talk about the Washington Capitals and John Wall. I'm not kind to him. My family even stopped by in April to see your studio. We missed you, but we got to meet Gary Williams and enjoy some wonderful food and watch the Final Four. We hope to visit again for breakfast and catch the live show. Andrew J. Rich, Lebanon, Ohio. P.S. My dad says eat at Saliza. So that
what?
That's always good. Let's start. Before we start the show, let me announce, of course, that we have Monday Night Football here tonight. We have Pittsburgh, a disappointing team so far, but a team that travels very well and is usually very good on Monday night against Ryan Fitzmagic and Tampa Bay, who I don't know how they're 2-0. And we'll see what happens. More importantly than any of these things, Bootsy, big baby boy Bootsy, is 15 months old today.
You remember. Wow.
What are the plans?
So we are hosed because it's supposed to rain all week, and he's at this age where he needs to get outside and run.
Right.
So we're trying to find every indoor play space that is within a short distance of our house.
Right.
So we'll be borrowing a car today from you guys.
Yeah. Do you want to put him in one of those moon bounce deals?
So he's not big enough for a moon bounce.
Right.
Think soft, you know, soft landings and edges that he can use to help get between two distances.
Why don't you put him in a giant vat of toilet paper?
No,
that's a
good
soft,
idea. Soft, you know, and it has no sharp
edges.
He's
an ideas man, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did Bootsy make an announcement about his 15-month birthday?
He makes a lot of proclamations, nothing about his age, though.
Okay,
nothing.
That's good. Let him hide his age. The lead, so Wilbon and I talked for probably 45 minutes last night at various phone calls. Almost all about Tiger. And the dilemma that I have, here comes the socialite. What's he doing? Oh. Maybe socialite's going to serve breakfast. How great.
Came to shut it down.
That's it. It's the end of the show.
Burn
so the dilemma that we have is this. By 5:30 today, on an NFL weekend, do you really lead with Tiger? I mean, he believes we do. I believe we do. But others would look at us and say, you're old men. And just put Tiger somewhere in the back of the A's. Don't put him in the front of the A's. But for my purposes now, since I haven't talked about this before, we're going to lead the show with it. Tiger wins yesterday, and Michael Kornheiser called this on the air 2 weeks ago.
You are welcome. Steve Sands, I hope you're listening.
I gambled heavily on that.
Steve Sands, I had to remind him of it. I had to text Steve Sands a lot yesterday, and he said he couldn't wait to hear the show. One of the great moments, I'll just jump to the bottom before we get from the top to the bottom and just say this. One of the great moments, Steve Sands on Channel 4 on NBC yesterday had the Tiger interview. And Steve Sands asked all the right questions. He asked three questions. Each one was right.
He's a pro.
Tiger deflected the answers from, you know, in one way or another. But Steve Sands asked the right question. And the great quote for most people would be, thanks, Sansi. And that was a great quote.
But so
the,
good.
How about the this? Great quote was there. Go ahead.
No, it was a grind. No fight. Enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, when he said, I have a hard time not crying coming up 18. That's all you really have to hear, that Tiger is actually a human being
and has actual
emotions, had a hard time crying. And I suspect that he did cry privately and maybe even publicly in the post game. But with Stans, that's what happened. I believe that all the great players that Tiger beat are happy that Tiger won. If they couldn't win, I think they're happy that Tiger won. And Tiger, and this should be pointed out, and Tiger stumbled in the back nine, and he bogeyed 15, and he bogeyed 16, and he needed a big-time chip on 17 and a 5.5-foot putt, maybe?
A 4.5-footer, but downhill with pace.
With break going left, and to make that, and that clinched it. So there was, I was texting back and forth with a variety of people saying, what if he blows it? It's an even bigger story if he blows it at that point, but he didn't do that. So I don't
know
what
happened.
What
you forgot was that 18.
I lost the hearing in my
18
headphones.
Was essentially a par 4.5. The average is 4.5, so he knew he had that in his pocket.
So let me get to a bunch of things. I think that the kids are pretty happy. He won wire to wire, as he always.
That's what I was going
to
say, right. So, I saw him. I knew he led the first two. I didn't know he led the
three.
Wire to wire. Okay.
And head to head. With two of the five best players in the world, Justin Rose on Saturday, he beat him head-to-head by two or three shots. Rory McIlroy on Sunday, he beat him head-to-head. The ultimate margin was three, but it was six at one point. Tiger rebuffed the challenges of great players head-to-head. I mean, Rory...
And the only
Rory couldn't take the heat. That was unbelievable. Rory's a champion.
If you looked at it, it happened on number four. Tiger gives Rory an opening. Rory fats a shot into a bunker, fails to get up and down. Tiger makes his putt. Rory immediately looks down, hand over the eyes, and he's done.
And it is also clear that Rory respects and loves Tiger. You can see that. You can
Walking up 18, you saw the joy on Rory's face.
That Tiger was back. Because you know what? This is great for golf. This is more money for everybody.
Oh, it's.
I have no idea what the ratings were because they were against the NFL. And I'm sure they probably got killed. But I can guarantee you that's the best golf rating ever against the NFL.
Yeah.
And did whatever you see it was. Right, Kevin? Best golf rating ever against the NFL. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter how bad it was.
We'll have full coverage in the news section.
Kevin's in the back.
This is anecdotal, but the galleries around him. I mean, it's
British
just,
Open at the end.
I mean, there's
swarming.
If you have not seen it, I would urge people to look online. There
Wonderful.
Are pictures everywhere.
A great
All
moment.
Wearing red.
Tiger Woods a year. Tiger had ruined his marriage. And there's no question about that. Tiger had basically ruined his life. He is at fault. Nobody else did this. Tiger Woods did this, struggling to figure out, without his dad around, struggling to figure out how to live, and very badly at it. Tiger was, as far as I am concerned, and though I am a doctor, but I'm a PhD doctor, not a medical doctor.
Well,
Tiger appeared to be addicted to painkillers.
Oh, it was
addicted.
A year and a half.
Addicted.
We saw him all disheveled on the side of the road in the middle of the night. Thinking, yeah.
And in this small space of time, Tiger has come back to win a tournament that Michael, you can explain limited field, and that's why you thought he had a great chance.
Yes, no, this was a 30-person field, but it's the 30 best players in the world. Mm-hmm. And you actually look at the way, this was Tiger's 80th victory. And if you look at the largest number of his W's come from World Golf Championships, majors, the Tour Championships. He dominates when he can slowly wear down a field. And this was vintage Tiger in that regard.
So let me also say this. The fact that Justin Rose won $10 million... You know, you want to hand him the check.
With his three over.
Do it off air, okay? Because nobody cares about Justin Rose. The fact that Justin Rose fist pumped on 18 when he got close, knowing that he was going to win the $10 million, that is a clown show, bro.
It's the problem with modern golf.
That's a clown show.
The amount of money that is available. Right. He had the best year by far. Tiger credits him for being the best player in the world.
Good.
But the highlight of his FedEx playoff championships, missing a 4-footer to extend versus a guy who also struggles putting, and then going out, and as soon as he has sight of Tiger, the Tiger effect in those first six holes, he gave up any chance
Runs
to
away.
Contend.
Runs away from the crowd. So now he gets $10 million. You know what he should do with that $10 million? He should hand it to Tiger Woods as a down payment on how much more money everybody is going to make. I have talked a lot. Please talk, everybody. I haven't gotten to the NFL.
No, I mean, I watched it. I watched the NFL primarily.
As soon as we got to the 4 o'clock, hour and the first set of games was over, then I got off the Reds. I got off going back and forth and went to the golf.
Whether you like him or dislike him, and I think most people feel one way or the other about Tiger, it is without question that no matter how big a star any other name you can name is on the tour, he is 20 times, maybe more, that star. I mean, the casual audience is just... I mean, when he wins, he is the lead story on ESPN.com on a football weekend. And I think rightly so. But, I mean, there's no other scenario by which...
I didn't think he'd get there. I didn't think this would happen.
It's remarkable. As Gary said...
Was
it 18 months ago, the... Sort of his latest, a year and a half ago.
Michael, when was that?
Wasn't that around Memorial Day?
Memorial Day. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that was his latest rock bottom where it kind of felt like he couldn't swing. Yeah. He was in pain.
Well, and the
I mean,
big
it's
thing
a remarkable.
Is we wondered about his mental strength. And if you actually break down his round yesterday, his final 18, into rounds of six holes at a time, in the first six holes, he was able to establish control with that birdie on the first. He extended the lead in the second. And then he maintained it going forward. So you noticed the bogeys at the end. Bogeys were all part of his. Of the game plan as a failsafe, and it's what he did in the first two mini rounds that enabled him to play it that way coming down.
So I sat there, and on 15, I said to whoever was in my house at that time, which
could have been no one,
included the dog at that time. I said, "This is the last dicey swing he's going to have,
right?
Because of the water. Doubles it's 220
double, plus
and he and." Half the time, that hits the schmutz, bounces backwards into the water. It hit and settled, and then you can exhale. Then you know he'll be all right. Even with the bogey, you know he'll be all right.
I saw a video yesterday online, and I wish I could recall who it was promoting, and it was obviously produced prior to yesterday. I could tell because of the facial hair Tiger was sporting, but it was a video about a minute long of Tiger watching highlights, or clips, I should say, of everyone saying he's never, you know, it starts sort of in the just sort of man on the street. Do you think Tiger Woods ever win again? No chance.
An ad for Nike clothes or something?
Yeah, no, it's like the TMZ interviewing Greg Norman. Hey, do you think he has a chance to win? It's Stephen A. going, he's lost his chip
and
he's
culminates
lost his competitive edge.
The Tiger Woods you knew, he's gone. He's never coming back. And at the end, he just sort of slyly looks up at the camera with a smile
That's
on
a good
his
one.
Face. And it was great. So, and I thought it was interesting because it was obviously produced prior to him actually winning, and they sat on it for who knows how long.
It's not a major. It's not. It's a very limited field tournament.
It doesn't need to be a major.
But it's...
He hasn't won in 5 years.
I never thought he... I didn't think he'd... I hoped. I didn't think so. Right. I didn't think so. Now I think he can win Augusta. I think that's the major he can win. He's familiar with the course. It doesn't
hurt him. Well, a week ago, you didn't think he still had a shot at winning Augusta? I mean, many
theorized.
No, I did.
But what I'm saying is, I'm going back to the beginning of this thing. Because I don't think it's fair to look at the last 3 weeks and then say he can win. If you would ask me at the beginning of it, will Tiger ever win again? I go, I don't know.
Well, what do you consider
when you say the beginning?
The golf club in the car?
Yeah,
the smashing of the windshield?
No, the comeback.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. The comeback.
Yes, the painkiller comeback.
All right. Yeah, the comeback. That's I would have said that.
But the big thing is you look at even within the season, addressing the issues with a putter where he was unstoppable with that putter this week, and even the in-season changes with the driver, because all this technology is new to him. And he finally figured out a loft and going back to a different shaft where his misses were going to stay on the golf course,
right,
which allows him to be more aggressive. And you saw that yesterday where he drove the ball really well, and some of those bogeys came when he dialed back with
the
3-wood.
He went to the 3-wood, and he ended up in the schmutz on the side of the road.
And if you looked at the 18th hole, when you see him separating himself from Rory as everyone else is picking up the pace as they're walking up, every step is equal. He is in complete control of that, but the thing that changes is the guys he's going to after the round, Team USA, as they get ready for that charter flight, and that is all part of the rehabilitation. As you know, you get that is just as important as the victory, is the opening up to Sanzi with the the cry, the emotional aspect. He would never admit to that stuff, but it's
That's
opening
right.
up to those
yeah,
team guys,
man.
Which I think is that final straw, just as important as holding out that final putt.
And by the way, the ratings on. Well, it's afternoon
Golf
stuff.
National.
It's the Ryder Cup. It's afternoon stuff because it's a 6-hour time difference.
It's in France, right?
But I think a lot of people are going to watch that. There are people, if I'm not mistaken, there's a whole bunch of people are coming to chatter on Friday to have breakfast, your Ryder to the Cup destination, and watch. Yes, we are your Ryder Cup destination.
9 a.m., I think. Or no, 3 a.m., actually, I think coverage starts.
We're not your destination at 3 a.m.
Well, maybe if you're
open. Get it on the other end.
7 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. All right, so I didn't get to the NFL, which gives Kevin a lot of space in
Who?
News to get to the NFL. Kevin's here. And I'll get out of here now, and then we will come back with Wilbon. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. You've heard me talking about Casper for some time now, and that's because Casper makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest at affordable prices. You spend a third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Their breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Casper isn't only a mattress company. They also offer a wide array. It is so hard to say wide array. Copywriters should actually read their copy knowing they're going to stumble on wide array. And it's like Russell Westbrook. It's a very tough name to say, Mr. Wide Array of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box. That's easy to read. Plus free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And for my listeners to the Tony Kornheiser podcast show, Casper is offering $50 towards select mattresses by visiting Casper.com/Tony. Use the promo code Tony at checkout. The only way to get $50 towards select mattresses is by going to Casper.com/Tony and using promo code Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is called Joshua Tree. It's written and sung by Rozzy. Rozzy is my friend David's, not discovery, but David knows her dad, her parents, and she records in Los Angeles.
She's got a great voice.
She's fabulous. We're going to play Rozzy's music today. Short burst here, and then another, you know, at the end of the show, you can listen to it. It's in its entirety. She writes them, she records them, she plays the instruments.
Pretty great.
Fabulous. She's fabulous. Michael Wilbon joins us now, and I said at the beginning of the show that we talked at great length about Tiger and Tiger and Tiger, and we've just done that here. But you, how did you feel about that? How did you feel when you saw him, you know, make the shot that didn't go in the water on 15, even with the bogeys, the chip and the putt on 17, and particularly the walk up 18? What did you think of that?
Tony, I was both days, Saturday and Sunday, and then but particularly yesterday, I was like a 12-year-old watching Muhammad Ali. I was thrilled.
Yeah.
Thrilled. I don't know the last time I felt like that. I mean, I feel like that for my teams all the time. But, I mean, just for an individual to compete like that, the walk-up 18 was extraordinary. And I'm sure they said it multiple times that they'd never seen anything like it. Nobody's ever seen anything like that. In golf, I don't know how many times you can see something like that, even potentially. And it was thrilling is the word that comes to mind because I mean I had goosebumps, and you know Tiger Woods through his first from 21 to 35 the notion that he would well up and as he admitted had to stop himself from crying. That never would have, that wouldn't have been not even a slim possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But now, with all that he's been through in his life, at whatever he is, 43, I guess.
I think it'd be 43 in December.
43 yeah. in December. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, for him to admit that he had to compose himself with, just in order to hit the ball out of the bunker, the greenside bunker, to two putt for par. It's just, wow. I watched it over last night. I watched it. I got in bed. I couldn't go to sleep anyway. I was too amped, really, over all the stuff yesterday, particularly. But Tiger led the way with me being amped. Never seen anything like that.
I said earlier in the show, I hoped he would win. But when you saw him on the side of the road, however many months ago that was, completely disoriented, clearly under the influence of pills, and not for the first time, pretty obviously. I don't think you could imagine this. I just don't.
Well, he couldn't. He couldn't even imagine it.
No,
I mean, he wasn't talking about winning anything. He was talking about if he could play.
Yeah.
If he could play. And it's a you know, it's an extraordinary story, to say the least. And I don't know where it goes. You know, the presumption now is that he'll win at least another major. I mean, I don't know that.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. But I'm just, this is so unexpected. You know, Tony, this is what sports gives you that nothing else in life gives you. This is why there's reality TV, is they seek to replicate what sports gives you, which is a winner and a loser, yeah, and these stories, these insane stories that no one would believe otherwise. They seem like they're fiction.
So one of the things, the tradition at the British Open is that when the last twosome, and it may not yield the winner, though it often does, when the last twosome is finishing, everybody sort of mills around behind them, and that guy, those two walk up to the 18th green together. That doesn't happen in the United States. This was spontaneous, and the odd thing, and just wonderful beyond words, and the odd thing for me, and Tiger apparently mentioned this later. I talked about this when I went to the Bruce Springsteen show on Broadway. People don't clap. They stand up. But they're all filming you with their cell phones. And Tiger said,
no,
nobody was clapping. Everybody's filming me, but nobody's clapping. It's so weird, you know, because that's the ovation of your life. But that doesn't happen anymore. It's very weird. But that was, didn't you feel great when you saw him lost in the crowd like that?
Thrilled, Tony.
Yeah, it's great.
Part of me,
it's great.
I guess I wasn't even. I didn't get scared. I didn't have that.
Oh, I did.
Feeling
the bogeys
until I watched it over, and then I was watching it. As Cheryl said, "Oh my God, I can't believe they're letting them people get that close to him. Don't they know about Monica Seles?"
Oh, I thought no. I was scared for him losing the tournament.
Oh, I was. As you know, yeah, I was scared for that, but I was. You know, when he was walking up before he hit the bunker shot.
Yeah.
They're just all around him. You don't see that in America anymore.
It's a big deal.
You can't allow it.
That was a big deal. I don't know if it's a big deal for people, say, under the age of 30, because people under the age of 30 may have no sense of Tiger. Certainly under the age of 20 wouldn't. And it's golf, and it's a niche sport. So I don't know. Let's get to other things. Let me get to some football with you, and let's start with Drew Brees. I mean, because that, for me, that was the most exciting game yesterday. Brees had 3 passing touchdowns. He had 2 running touchdowns. He was 39 for 49 for 396 with no interceptions. It's obvious the New Orleans defense is awful and will continue to be awful. But you put the ball in his hands and you say to yourself, we can win, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah. I mean, you can. He can beat anybody in the regular season. Look, he's done it all the way through once. I don't know that they have that in them, the Saints. I don't know. I don't know that anybody's any good in the NFL right now, Tony.
I think the Rams are.
Okay, stop.
Chiefs.
Rams.
Yeah, I think the Rams are good.
Anybody else? I don't know if there's another.
Not yet.
Any team out there that's even potentially great?
No, I don't disagree with any of that.
So and so New Orleans is in a boat with a lot of other people.
Here's what they did that I think. You pay off on. We all have, everybody has problems with the overtime rule in one form or another. But everybody knows that the overtime rule is, if you take it down and punch it in, you win.
Right.
And he went 15 plays.
Yeah.
15 plays and got it in the end zone. That to me, there are not a lot of people who can do that, to me. I don't know what you think.
No, Tony, there's, look, this is the reason, and Steve Young reminded us of this last week, I guess it was, 2 weeks ago. The reason that the NFL is so hell-bent, and to me, in a way that is counterproductive for the sport, on keeping its star quarterbacks upright, is that you don't even have many of them anymore.
That's right. You got about 6.
I guess you have 6. You can't count Eli Manning anymore.
No. But you can. I think you can count. I think Brees, Rodgers, and Brady you can count. I think you can count Cam Newton. Cam Newton's a threat.
Maybe, yeah.
He's a threat from anywhere.
But we're talking about a half dozen.
Yeah, that's all. Half dozen.
And so you, so that's, he, Breeze is one of the reasons, and they don't even protect Cam Newton, but this is one of the, one of the reasons that the rules exist as they do, which I think they're counterproductive to the sport. Not to the handful of men who the rules protect, but to the sport. Clay Matthews spoke to this yesterday, I thought, and I thought reasonably so and accurately.
Clay Matthews dumped Alex Smith and looked up and went, "Oh no!" He put his head to the side. It was the perfect tackle.
I told you this summer.
Perfect.
I called you one day and I said to you, "We're going to talk about this every week."
Yeah, because it's a bad rule.
It's an awful rule.
It's a bad rule. It's a bad rule. That part of it.
It reduces the sport.
I agree. Oh, I agree. I agree. Let me give you another name who I really didn't see coming, but obviously Andy Reid did. Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
How about him?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on. Are you kidding? Look. You compare this stuff because if you have a team in the race, or a guy in a race, you is very personal. So Mahomes was drafted after Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes.
And they traded up to get him.
They did.
They a first round.
The guy John Dorsey, who's now running Cleveland, traded to John Dorsey must know what he's doing.
Listen, this kid, you don't tell me you can't see greatness. We've seen more greatness out of Pat Mahomes than we thought. But the flashes were there in the first quarter of his first game.
Yeah.
And my team has a guy that they traded up to get as well, up to number two.
That's right.
And he has shown not one one-hundredth of that yet.
But you won.
We win because of the way we always win. I told you 2 weeks ago, after the Packer game, I fear that this Bears team is like all the other Bears teams of my life.
Right.
It is going to be led by a great linebacker and maybe not a great running back. Jordan Howard may not be great.
He's good. He's
damn good. And they don't have it. And Tony Trubisky, increasingly. I mean, yesterday, there's no throw he can complete. He can't consistently. There's no single throw he can complete consistently. And you look at Mahomes and you just go, "Oh my God, we got it wrong again."
I mean, Mahomes,
a lot of people
Mahomes
got it wrong.
Slinging
it
around.
Get it wrong all the time. The Bears are. You know exactly how old the Bears are. If you count the years they were the Decatur Staleys, they're 100 years old. The Green Bay Packers.
Right.
This is their 100th season.
And in Wilbon's defense, I think most people were scratching their heads
on
when
Trubisky.
They traded up for Trubisky.
Yeah.
Like, what are you
doing?
You know,
I was more than scratching my head.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know you were vocal.
Take the sharp objects away from me. That happened.
My point is it wasn't second-guessing.
This wasn't second-guessing. This was first-guessing.
Right.
Now, you just sit there and you go, no. And now we got to watch this guy, Mahomes, every week?
He sure looks good, and this is his essentially first year. He sat on the bench and watched.
He was redshirted last year.
Which I think more teams should do, but they can't because of the money involved.
Did he take a snap last year?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
He played one game.
Start, I think.
He had one start.
Yeah. And
then they knew, with the one start, they knew.
They knew. Listen, when they moved up to take him, they knew. Now, it was proven to them anyway. In their minds, it was proven after the one start and whatever mop-up duties he had. But, yeah, this kid is, I mean, seriously.
What do you make? There's one other thing that we need to get to. The most stunning result yesterday is Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Tony, there's no.
What happened? What's that?
League. I haven't looked at my win-loss from yesterday from the confidence pool. There were, so far, it's all been all but one game, so there's been 15 games. I got to be like 4-11.
Not very good.
Yeah. My worst week ever in this pool, and we have had this pool close to 10 years, is 7-9.
I mean,
I got to be 4-11 going into tonight's game.
Do you know Minnesota, passed the ball 8,000 times, didn't score, scored one touchdown, at the end. I thought Buffalo and Arizona had to be the worst teams in football. I still think Arizona is probably one of the worst teams. I didn't see this coming at all with Buffalo. No. And, Mike, that's Josh Allen.
And it was at Minnesota.
At Minnesota.
Now, doesn't Minnesota have the Rams next week?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Thursday night.
Wow, that's a great Thursday night game.
I must say the only look for me.
Looking ahead.
Nigel's not here today. Nigel must be going crazy with the Vikings.
Yeah, that was
losing like this. The only thing is I take great joy in seeing that coach get his butt kicked. Love it. He's a terrific coach to have gotten his team last
Zimmer?
Year.
Zimmer? You don't like Zimmer? Mike Zimmer?
I don't like his manner.
Oh, really?
I don't like his bedside manner. So for him to take one like that, that gave me particular joy. And after the division where I don't know who's any good. Was there a three-way tie at 2-1?
They're not.
Yeah.
There's nobody really good. There's nobody really good in that division.
And I would say with Rodgers limping around like
no.
that.
He's a mess. No, it's
and
not.
The Bears aren't going to reap the rewards, but they set that in motion with Rodgers limping around, and they don't seem inclined to sit him for a couple of games to perhaps get him better. Or maybe they know he's not going to get better.
They can't sit him because their backup is the worst quarterback in the history of the league, Deshaun Kizer. How did they get that?
He's bad. All right,
I'll see you later.
Yep.
All right, Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Kevin is going to make his full news debut on this show. Kevin has been sitting in a corner preparing.
Lifting weights.
I see a highlighter out.
That's why we lift the weights. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad, and I'm supposed to talk about my personal experience with Indochino, but I have none, but Nigel does, but Nigel isn't here. Nigel took out the rope, and Nigel took out the tape measure, and Nigel measured everything, and Nigel sent his measurements in, and Nigel has now ultimately bought 2 to 3 suits.
That's right. I was going to say, he's a multiple purchaser.
He liked Indochino that much. Indochino is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. We make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Guys love the wide selection of high-quality fabrics and colors to choose from and the option to personalize the details, including your lapel, lining, pockets, buttons, and writing your own monogram. Here's how it works. You visit a stylist at a showroom, and apparently there's one in Bethesda,
right
down the street from here. You have them take your measurements personally, or you measure at home, as Nigel did, and you shop online at Indochino.com. You choose your fabric inside and out. You choose your design customizations. You submit your measurements with your choices, and you relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in just a couple of weeks. This week, listeners to this high-quality podcast can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359 at Indochino.com when entering TK at the checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, plus the shipping is free. So it's $359. Indochino.com. Promo code TK for any premium suit. You get the free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Plus, they're expanding into casual clothing, and you can get made-to-measure chinos. I'm thinking about doing this because as I get older and I shrink, if I tell them exactly that the inseam is now not 32 but 31 1/4, I assume they can make them exactly.
They will, right? I'm sure. But doesn't the shrinking mostly occur from the waist up as like the spine compression?
No, I'm saying.
I don't think your femur shrinks.
My pants are too long now. They used to be good.
Okay.
So your made-to-measure chinos will quickly become your go-to pant, as Michael likes to say. Pairing as easily with a suit jacket as they do with a sweater. And they'll be good any time of year for any occasion, from boardroom meetings to Sunday brunches. Indochinos at an introductory price of $79 in the United States. I may go for that.
Not Alpo Chino, Indochino.
No, Indochino. Hmm.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I don't want to love you, but I do. Once again, this is Rozzy from California. This is called Never Over You. You can listen to her music at the end of the podcast in its entirety, and she's really great.
This one's about me.
Never Over You? Yeah. That was a bad breakup with you and Rozzy. Michael, if people like Rozzy, who are great, want to send their music in, even if you're not great, it's fine. How do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. And before you ask, we're selling one thing given this weather. the Tell Michael umbrella.
It comes to your house and says Tell Michael, and it implies Tell Michael it's raining.
It stays over your head and keeps the rain off of you. It's highly functional.
You need it.
All right, Kevin Sheehan is here.
Hey,
Kevin has his own podcast now. What is it called?
No, it's called The Kevin Sheehan Show, Tony.
How original.
Creative.
Yeah.
How original.
And you can get it on iTunes or any of the places you can get yours, and at the KevinSheehanShow.com website, which is much easier for the older people in the crowd that don't know how to do the iTunes thing.
Can they get the Tony Kornheiser Show on a website the same way?
They can.
I never knew that.
Yes.
I wish I'd known that.
The Tony
Kornheiser Show. I've been doing it for 2 years.
Oh, here it is. I'm on the Kevin
Sheehan
Show. Hey,
Kevin, with Reginald the Monkey going 1-2, James Carville going 0-2-1, and Jeff Ma, our predictive analyst, going 1-3, how did the Kevin Sheehan smell test do this
4-0
weekend?
Yesterday, Gary. Thanks for asking.
4-0.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Who did you have?
I had the Redskins.
Yeah.
I had the Bills.
You had the Bills.
I did, plus the 16.5. I played the Friday line. Didn't even need the 16.5.
No, you didn't.
Had the Lions last night and also had the Colts yesterday.
Wow, 4-0. Dogs.
And it was a 9-3-1 overall weekend for the smell test. College Saturday, I went 5-2-1.
Very
not
good.
Bad.
Don't do the news for us, please.
Speaking of that, I heard you and Wilbon. I get to listen to the show now, which is nice.
Yeah.
I heard you and Wilbon talking about the biggest shocker in the NFL, really all season long, Buffalo going into Minnesota and winning. Tony, it's just the 15th underdog in the history of the NFL as a 17-point dog or greater to win outright. The favorites of 17 points or more are 145-15 during the Super Bowl era. The last 17-point or higher underdog to win outright, Heath Shuler and the Washington Redskins
Cowboys,
at Dallas in 1995 as a 17.5-point dog. They won that game in December of 95.
Congressman Heath Shuler.
Congressman Heath Shuler.
Former congressman.
From the hills of North Carolina.
Yep. Yeah.
Last night, the Patriots lost 26-10 to Detroit.
Go ahead. I watched much of that game and was texting back and forth with a variety of people.
You stayed up for the entire thing?
No. Much of that game.
So that got you into the third quarter.
Yeah, deep starting into earlier.
The majority of the game.
Deep into the third. The Patriots have no defense.
Terrible.
They don't stop when the Lions run through you. The Patriots,
it's not
a question about their op. Brady's probably still Tom Brady, and we'll see what happens when Josh Gordon plays.
They haven't had defense
in
a few
no
years.
They have no defense.
Well, if anyone's...
Does Matt Patricia leaving hurt them?
Well, if anyone's going to know how to attack that defense, it would be Matt
Patricia. They look bad.
Yeah, they sure did.
They don't look like a team that recovers.
It's the second straight double-digit loss for the Patriots. They got beat last week by Jacksonville, 31-20. This is the first time that's happened since 2002.
They don't look good.
Well, I will say, as Collinsworth, I think, astutely pointed out last night, it was 2 years ago on a Monday night, the Chiefs dismantled the Patriots,
and everyone thought it was over.
Okay,
Brady's
and then what
done.
Happened next?
I believe they won the Super Bowl.
They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They really haven't had great defense in a few years.
They really haven't looked good.
In their division, Miami is 3-0, surprisingly, after beating the Raiders.
Are they people we should...
Titans, Jets, and Raiders are the three wins.
Tannehill looks,
so tread lightly.
Tannehill looks good, though. I mean, I know it's against those teams, but he looked great.
John Gruden, 0-3.
0-3 for
Gruden. Did we expect that?
The Raiders weren't supposed to be a bad football team. They weren't supposed to be an 0-3 football team.
Right.
They have talent. Tony, how about the college Saturday that included Old Dominion as a 28.5-point underdog? By the way, another smell test pick.
Boom.
You had that?
I had that.
Of course he did. It's Monday. Game of Saturday.
Well, go look. You know what? You can go listen to the Friday podcast.
No thanks.
For proof.
Rather stick a knife in my ear.
Nice try.
28.5-point underdogs, Old Dominion was. And they beat Virginia Tech outright 49-35. They played that game, Tony, in Norfolk. Others call it Norfolk, Virginia, was the big upset.
Is that considered neutral or is that home?
No, that's home for Old Dominion.
I didn't even know that they were a D1 squad.
2009.
I thought they were D2.
Just been a few years.
2009, they became a D1 squad.
They had no other victories this year. And they beat Virginia Tech.
Yeah. And the quarterback, the kid threw for...
And he was
a lot of yards.
400
yards.
Tony La Russa's grandson or something.
Brandon La Russa, Daniel La Russa.
Is that on the level of Appalachian State beating Michigan?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, and that was State, in the Big House.
Appalachian State was also a 30-something point underdog. Yeah, this is the biggest outright underdog in FBS versus FBS since Georgia Southern beat Florida 5 years ago.
Well, which hastened the departure of their coach at Florida.
The biggest upset on Saturday would have been, and it was Army. Very close
the
to
Army
being,
game.
Army
Oklahoma
losing to Oklahoma in Norman in overtime, 28-21.
If they, that would have been
they were a 30-point underdog.
Unbelievable.
30-point dog. And, Tony, they had the football in field goal range at the end of regulation and threw an interception.
And ooh. They never throw.
Never
How many
throw.
Passes do they throw a game? Four?
Four or five.
That's all they
typically.
Throw. That was big, yeah.
So that was a big game. Maryland won their Big Ten opener,
how
beating
did they
Minnesota.
Do that after losing to Temple like that?
Temple,
they...
I don't think, is terrible.
Temple was ranked a year or two ago.
Can
it doesn't
I ask
mean
you
they're
a question?
Good now.
But... You're an alum. Yes. Everybody knows you went to Maryland. There's a little story in the paper today about mold in one of the dorms at Maryland and moving everybody. Your wife is an alum of Maryland.
Yeah.
Moving everybody out of the dorm.
Which dorm was it?
I don't know. It's in the paper. It's in the Metro
that.
Section. They move students out of the dorm with mold, and they've made no decision on that coach yet after months and months. What
and
are they
decisive
doing?
On the mold.
What? Yes. What are they
Very
doing?
Very decisive.
Yeah.
They're protecting the students, Tony. It's always about the children.
I know, but what about the coach? What are they going to do with this coach? What are they going to do with this guy, Durkin?
So the report on the actual handling of the Jordan McNair situation came back on Friday.
And that was nothing new in that.
They were very negligent.
Yeah, which they said. And that's why the president said, it's our fault and we'll pay any amount of money to make this go away.
Yes, he said that. The next investigation has yet to be completed, and that's the one, Tony, where they're looking into whether or not there is this toxic culture at the University of Maryland, and that will more likely than not determine DJ Durkin's fate, although most people think that he is
gone.
Yeah.
All right, so did Alabama cover? We know they're great. Did they? I don't think they covered.
Okay, so Alabama did not cover on Saturday.
A&M covered.
Yeah. Right. I think it was 26.
That line was about 27 and a half, somewhere around
That's
there.
That's so 40, large 40, against
a good
A&M.
Team. 45-23 was the final. Did you see what Saban said after the game?
Say bad stuff about us.
He asked the media, he said, I would appreciate it if you would sort of look at some of the things we didn't do so well and write about that so I can show it to the players and say, look here, man, here's something you can do better.
Don't believe what you hear and read.
So
that's not
A&M lost by 2 points to the number two team in the country.
Right.
And was then a 27-point underdog to Alabama. It looks like Alabama is one of the great teams of all time because their offense is now, they have a passer.
They appear to have a quarterback.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, Clemson's very good. Georgia's very good. Ohio State's very good. I'll be up at Penn State this Saturday. I will be on Saturday night to see the Buckeyes in the Nittany Lions.
Oh, great game.
Really?
Trace McSorley, very
well,
good.
Well, that's wonderful.
My youngest is a freshman at Penn State.
Those four are the best teams.
That would have, yes, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, because and Alabama I know appear to be a cut above everybody else.
I know that Oklahoma and LSU and Notre Dame are undefeated. I don't know that they are as good as
those teams.
Stanford,
Oklahoma this weekend. Stanford, Notre Dame this
that's
weekend.
That's a very, very good game. That seems else to me that's mix. A very good game.
LSU may be
Duke
pretty good.
Duke and Kentucky are undefeated. That never happens. Duke and Kentucky, they're not their basketball school.
Yeah,
yes, they're basketball school.
Isn't Kevin, you'll know this, isn't Trace McSorley the starting quarterback
he
back
is.
From Penn State? He's from
Ashburn.
Around here, right?
Yeah, Ashburn. Yeah, out
is he good?
Loudoun County.
Very
good.
What else do you have for us, Kevin, in the news?
Tony, a Georgetown prep graduate. Really faced down the pressure of having his professional career derailed yesterday.
Who was this?
And then went out and shot 23 under over the weekend.
Denny McCarthy.
Denny McCarthy.
Good job out of you.
In the tour ending season event on the web.com tour, one in Atlantic Beach, Florida. We both know the McCarthys very well.
Yes.
His uncle Mike is a very good golfer, qualified for the senior amateur a few
his
weeks
kids
ago.
Are good players.
His son Michael, I coached in basketball, is on scholarship at Loyola playing golf. Denny gets a full exemption on the PGA Tour next year and a guaranteed spot in the Players' Championship.
So, Michael, does that mean if Denny McCarthy is on the full tour totally exempt, he can play 30 tournaments, he can make big money, right?
Yes, he can pick his schedule.
And at that point, just finishing below par often gets you big dollars. I mean, there's money, and with Tiger playing a lot of tournaments, the purses will go up. That was good for Denny McCarthy. You know who else had to qualify? Lucas Glover.
Lucas Glover.
He'd won the Open, right? Hadn't he won the United States Open? And he had to go qualify.
He did. He won the Open in 2009, something like that. Yeah.
Golf's tough.
You mentioned Georgetown, but you didn't mention the Georgetown-Columbia game.
I did not.
You lost.
But I'm unfamiliar with the result.
There was a line on that?
23-15, we lost.
What was the line on that?
It was like 29.5. Boom. Easy cover.
Did you go? Do you go to those games?
No, he didn't go to those games.
Tony said something funny just now.
Good job, Kevin.
Thank you.
Good job. We will get to another Georgetown Prep graduate in the old guys segment coming up. Yeah. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Let's do version two of my favorite commercial, which is the Spotify commercial. I like this one a lot. It makes me very, very happy. Here's version two. Some things were meant for each other. Fries and milkshakes, selfies and duck face. What is duck face?
You do
duck
the,
face is that like stupid pursed lip face.
Oh, I didn't know
the
that.
Kids make when
and
they
now
selfie.
The Tony Kornheiser Show and Spotify. Yes, the same app that has millions of songs now has thousands of podcasts. On Spotify, by the way, if you've had too much plastic surgery, you have natural duck face.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I know actresses who you look at and you go, whoa, what happened to her?
Too much duck face.
On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite shows and discover new ones. To subscribe to ours, search for The Tony Kornheiser Show, tap follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, and get every new episode delivered to you. Podcasts on Spotify. They're streaming right now and now and now. I can't
find that. You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is That Thing You Do from that movie, That Thing You Do. This was released in the area of critical commentary 22 years ago today. This is the best rock movie ever made, as far as I'm concerned. It's better than Almost Famous. It's better than The Last Waltz. I exempt the Beatles movies from this because they're Beatles movies. This is where I began to worship Tom Hanks, when I found out he wrote it, he directed it, and he gave himself not the most sympathetic part in it. You know, I mean, he was their manager and sort of edgy and not necessarily the most sympathetic person.
Great band name.
Yeah.
Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
Yes, that's right. I just think I think it's note for note perfect movie. Am I wrong? I watch this anytime it's on.
I think I like Almost Famous more, but it's because of the journalism angle.
Yeah.
They're both great.
Love this movie. All right. Let me get to a couple of things, and then we'll get to Brett Kavanaugh. Michael and I went to the Philadelphia Cricket Club on Saturday. We drove up and drove back and had a really wonderful time. I got to play in our foursome with Steve Bilski, who was the athletic director at GW for a long time, and then at Penn for a longer time, a graduate of Penn. Who was the AD when Michael went to school.
It's the reason I went to Penn.
Yes. And
being honest.
Yes, it is. And it worked out very, very well. Talk about Philly cricket, because you played there when you were on the team.
This was our home course, and if you are a golf fan, you know that the course has had a big renovation in the last 5 or 6 years done by Keith Foster, and it's gained a lot of good attention when it had the Champions Tour event. No, this was one of those moments where I've been trying to get Dad up to that course. Some of my best memories from Penn and college in general are from that course. Some of the worst in terms of tournament play, but just the moments with your friends, the quiet moments of practice. And I really wanted to walk that course with my dad. And for, when I played baseball, you might be able to get soft toss. You might have your dad pitch to you. You might be able to play catch.
Or if you're Bryce Harper, you get your dad to throw it 90 miles an hour from 30 feet away.
And fast pitch you.
Yeah.
But this was we got Dad to play from the forward tees, and it was a really just a great moment to be able to spend 4 hours and 10 minutes walking that course with him and being able to compete from the appropriate spots. I mean, you played well.
I was fine.
Dad is officially the par three specialist. These are some tucked pins, and he was just shaping them in there.
No, that was good. But you had 3 birdies, which was very nice.
Yeah.
You said you had birdies on holes that you never even birdied when you were in school.
Correct. Birdies that I'd be happy to get bogeys when I was a little younger.
So that was very nice. And
matured.
And now this is the interesting thing for me. We drove up and back in Michael's car. Michael drove. We drove up and back. Two things happened. Well, let me get to the first one. On the way back, we stopped at the Maryland House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the redone Maryland
House. Yeah, it's nice now.
It's very nice. Yeah. And there was no line at all at the...
That's a rest stop, for those who don't know. It's a rest stop on I-95.
No line at all, and we ordered food, and it took 20 minutes. This is not fast food. It took 20 minutes to get the food.
Yep.
That's awful.
And some of us in the car did not want to stop.
Just hand me food. Here's money. Give me whatever you have.
You don't have a hot dog sitting there?
What is this?
I had
I plugged in your home address, and I had a time
that I was trying to beat. And about 20 minutes out, I see you eyeing the billboards on the side of the road, and I said to myself, we're going to have to stop.
Yeah, well, I'm
all right. So I try and go as far as I can, and then it ended up being a 15-minute stop.
Unbelievable.
Because of that.
You're selling fast food.
The people
have it ready.
People on a highway.
No one's
coming to hang out.
Nobody expects this to be any good.
We don't need ambiance.
Just give us the – you went crazy. And I
went
wanted
crazy.
To kill
well, he
someone.
Was already angry to be stopping. We all know how that feels.
So I drove up and back, and this was, you know, a six-hour total drive because I had to drive to Dad's house. On the way back, I finally realized Dad's afraid of the way that I change lanes.
Yes, you
and
go.
I change lanes appropriately.
You're going fast.
I'm going at speed on I-95. I signal
well in advance.
What's the problem? I move out of the left lane when it's appropriate so I can let the fast gunners go ahead.
By the way,
Dad's doing the grip, the side handle.
when
did he ever do that?
Yes.
The motorcycles go by you. You're going 70. They go by at 90 miles an hour.
Yep.
One little mistake, they're dead. They're dead. How do you draw? They're going
they're
in and
weaving
out
like it's a race.
God, I think they probably are racing. So Michael bought an Acura. Last night I went to Chevy Chase
certified
Acura.
Used Acura.
Right, I went to Chevy Chase Acura for the reception for that dog book that I talked about last week. The beautiful dog book. I met Max Scherzer's wife. I believe her first name is Erica. And we chatted for a while and some other people. I met them. And it was very, very nice. I wanted to be there for Matt Williams. And later in the week, we'll talk about how you can support animal rescue and stuff like that. Because all profits from this book, all proceeds go to help animals. So I had a very nice time. The guy who owns Chevy Chase Acura was there and introduced himself to me and said, I believe your son bought one of our cars. And I said, yes, and we just went up and back to Philadelphia yesterday. It was very nice. I said, he has a few minor issues. And the owner said, I'm saying this out loud because I want Michael and everyone else to hear it. Oh, bring the car in. We'll fix him. We'll do whatever he needs. No, we're happy to do that.
Yeah, we'll see about the follow-up.
So I want you to be able to do that.
Did he give you a car?
No, I've...
So, Dad, you kept your feelings about Acura to yourself.
I did. I said it was a very nice ride. The up and back was very nice. I'm not an Acura guy.
Oh, okay. I
like
understand.
Cadillacs and Lexus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to, because Chris is here, let's get to this. There is another accusation. It is an uncorroborated accusation against Brett Kavanaugh. I read this whole piece. It is in The New Yorker right now. It talks about Brett Kavanaugh as a freshman in college. The allegation is that he is drunk. The woman who makes the allegation says she was too foggy and had too much to drink. She alleges that at one point in a gathering at a party, I think in the dorms at Yale, they were freshmen,
that's right, yes.
That Brett Kavanaugh exposed himself to her and put himself, his private parts, right in her face.
Yep.
Okay? Now, this is uncorroborated.
He
calls it a smear and says, let me testify. Uncorroborated. To my knowledge.
So just the background of how it came about is that there's some debate over how The New Yorker got the story. Jane Mayer, who is a hugely accomplished journalist.
She and Ronan Farrow.
She said that they heard it from Ramirez. He said a little different. So it's not clear exactly where they got the story.
But it was out there, not just to them.
Yeah, Times said they
heard it.
Correct.
Yeah. That was something many journalists
have
heard.
Because I watched her on the Today Show.
And the woman making accusation says that she sat on it for a long time, and then for the last 6 days, as she tried to recollect whether she remembered it well enough to go public with something. That's according to her. So, you know, now we thought we had gotten the big debate out of the way, which was, is Christine Blasey Ford going to testify. She now is
allegedly on Thursday, unless that is postponed.
Although
because
Democrats
of this.
Are now California Senator demanding Diane Feinstein, who's the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, saying, "Well, we can't do this now because we have to look into this other one."
I don't think the Republicans are going to want to do that.
I know the White House.
I think, in the words of Mitch McConnell, they want to plow ahead.
They want to vote. But the problem becomes it's a political problem. The election is now in 43 days, 6 weeks from tomorrow. It's going to be a tough vote for some Republicans now, even tougher than it was with Christine Blasey Ford, because now you have at least two allegations as opposed to an isolated incident. Now they are allegations.
That's right.
But they are two allegations, and I just wonder.
And what if there's a third?
And, you know, Michael Avenatti, who is Stormy Daniels' lawyer, is out there tweeting saying he now has a client.
Michael Avenatti is out there picking it up, isn't he? He's involved in everything.
Yeah. President Avenatti.
Yeah.
At some point, I wonder if the you reach a tipping point in the mind of Trump, the White House, or Kavanaugh, that Kavanaugh just says, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. Oh. Or if Trump says, you know what, we're not doing this anymore because we're going to put Amy Coney Barrett from Notre Dame, we're going to nominate her or someone else.
Can that be done quickly enough?
It can be done quickly.
If Kavanaugh were to withdraw this week, could they jam
someone
through?
They would probably have to confirm her in a lame duck session. So after the election, you can call another session of Congress before the new Congress is sworn in. So Republicans would have the same number of seats they have now. Right. To confirm a Supreme Court justice in that kind of situation, particularly if Democrats win the House and or the Senate, especially the Senate.
Right.
Is tough. I mean, it would really...
That's really... That feels a little political. That smells tough if that happens.
And I don't think they could do it short of that because of the timeline. Because every member of Congress, all the senators want to get out of there, particularly the ones up for re-election, because they want to go and campaign. They don't want to spend time in D.C.
Right.
So it... Look, I thought the Ford hearing, the fact that she was going to be heard, took Jake Kavanaugh's chances of confirmation from 95% to roughly 50-50, because who knows... Right? Who knows how that plays?
Well, he's going to go second, which is always the better position to be in.
But what would you call it now? Well, now you have this.
You have no indication from the White House that they're backing away.
No, but there's never any indication of any White House backing away right until the moment they do. Okay. And more so, I mean, this president is more mercurial than virtually any president we've ever had.
And again, it would not.
Maybe any person on Earth. Right. So him changing his mind would not be.
And there's no chance that it would be presented as the White House backing away, right? It would be Kavanaugh. Even if they did back away, it would be presented as Kavanaugh has decided to withdraw.
Do you remember Ronnie Jackson, the guy he nominated for VA?
Doc Jackson, the doctor.
And so it was basically Ronnie Jackson, you know, even though all of these allegations were false, he didn't want to put his family through it. If it plays out, that's how it will play out. It will not be the White House pushing him out. There's no chance.
Lives are being ruined here.
No question.
Lives are being ruined, you know.
The accusers would say that he had agency in all of this, that these accusations are not just accusations, they are true. So maybe his life is being ruined now, but if you believe the two women, their lives were, I don't want to say ruined because I don't know, greatly impacted. I mean, if you read the Christine Blasey Ford piece in the Post, then I'll stop talking. If you read the Post, she thought about moving to New Zealand.
When Trump became president
so that, because she worried that Kavanaugh was going to be on the court. So this, according to her, is something that has haunted her. She can't sleep alone in a room with no obvious access point. You know, I mean, there's a lot. Again, a lot of people will roll their eyes and say it's political, but ask yourself, particularly with this one, with either of them, what's their reason for lying? I guess their reason for lying is you think that they're Democrats and they don't want Kavanaugh. But I don't know. Ask yourself that question.
Which will fall on them is so heavy, so crushing. It's just no lives are ruined in this. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have email. Yes, we can do email with internet.
We're working on finding a printer.
Okay, and we will have a jingle. Yes. Yes, Claude?
Yes.
All right, we'll be back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I'm old. So bullpen blows the game. I do complain a lot while not wearing socks. I'm old.
Brilliant. Vocal by Joe Arrow. Lyrics by Robert Skolnicki in Winnipeg, Manitoba. That's great. That's just great. Let me thank Wilbon for coming on the show today. Let me thank our sponsors, Indochino, Casper Mattresses, and Spotify. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Dylan Reese in Los Angeles. Prior to yesterday, the last time Tiger Woods won a PGA event, you were working for WTEM, fuming about a smart car in your favorite space. The Purple Line was still outlawed. Columbia Country Club was fire pit free. Chatter was called Chad's, had no podcast studio. The Kornheiser family did not contain Liz, Bootsy, or Chessie. There'd never been a Jingle Fest. Mark Obenshain hadn't created an unsold number of jobs by running for Attorney General. Sheena Parveen hadn't arrived in, much less left, Washington. And the refugee Safeway hadn't run out of egg noodles or cottage cheese. In other words, a lot has changed. Perhaps the only thing that hasn't changed is you talking about Tiger almost nonstop today. You have been validated. From Dr. Joel Pereira in Drexel University in Philadelphia, I have a rather eclectic method of eating my M&Ms. I open the bag first, and then I pour some out in my hand. The M&Ms that land in my hand are the ones I shovel into my mouth. I repeat this process until all the M&Ms are gone. Does anyone else eat candy like this? I'll hang out and listen. That's a very brilliant email, I must say. From Cody Workala in Portland, Oregon. Tony was so busy memorizing the names of all the Rascals, he never learned the difference between Chet Baker and Chet Atkins. Baker played the trumpet and Atkins played the guitar. Better luck next time. So I said that about the movie that was, what's his name, Ethan Hawke. And yeah. I did confuse them. I confused Chet Baker and Chet Atkins, and my apologies for that.
And isn't one of the Rascals, yes, Gene Cornish. Did you see this?
What happened?
I heard it over the weekend.
What happened?
Gene Cornish of the Rascals in stable condition following collapse on stage Friday night in Billings, Montana.
Were the Rascals playing or just him?
A founding man, I think just him. He's resting comfortably, and doctors say he will make a recovery. He was.
Who are the others?
He was with Felix Cavalieri and guest drummer Carmine
Apice.
In
but
a
he's
tour
not. But,
Car-
but Carmine two, was not one of the Rascals.
That brought two of the original four members together. No,
he was one of Mountain.
Yet.
Carmine Apice.
Who were the
was
other
Mountain.
Two? Does anyone know?
Yeah, we know Eddie Brigati.
So anyway,
and Dino Danelli.
Okay. He apparently he's doing okay, but on Friday night he collapsed. I thought of you. I should have sent
you a
note.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know
yeah.
We would have led the show with that. From Sage Knox in Livingston, Montana. By the way, we have people here today originally from Detroit. We have people from Atlantic City, New Jersey. We have one guy from Ireland. Very nice. From Sage Knox in Livingston, Montana. I recently moved to Livingston, Montana, population 7,000. I went to a bar for dinner with a friend to watch the Jets-Browns game. That was the Thursday night game. Around the L-shaped bar were nearly a dozen Browns fans decked out in team hats, T-shirts, and jerseys, screaming at the TVs as the Browns made their comeback. But aside from the surprising number of Browns fans there, the TV sets at either side of the bar were delayed by 3 seconds, resulting in a call-and-response cheering section as one side caught up with the action from the other. It became an almost satellite phone delay with spoilers, which cracked everyone up at the bar except the cover band, which was playing as loudly as possible to regain attention to their ill-scheduled gig. As the Browns finally closed out the game, between two equally loud and equally delayed chants of Brown Super Bowl and Dilly Dilly, I heard a very passionate and desperate rendition of Into the Mystic over the bar PA. Needless to say, it was one of the most bizarre experiences of my life and strains credibility, but I have multiple non-anonymous sources to back up my bewilderment. From Colin McKinnon in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I'm waiting to see if there's room in your cabinet or pantry, as it were, for an official nihilist of the Tony Kornheiser podcast. To help give myself a leg up for your consideration, I've sent you nothing as tribute, and as far as receiving total consciousness when you die, I'm not even sure Carville would take those odds. Lachiserie is the new Kapla. What is Kapla? Q-A-P-L-A? Does that have something to do with nihilism?
Q-U-P-L-A.
No, not a U. Q-A-P-L-A. From T.J. Sofera, who writes from what's left of Wilmington, North Carolina, where it's still flooded. Tiger wins, and it's overshadowed by my 8-year-old cousin's confusion of how I know Sansi. I think my wife picked up on it and confirmed her feeling that she settled. Oh, that's
Kapla is a phrase in Klingon said to wish fortune on someone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Klingon is...
It's a
made-up
Star Trek
language.
Nerds.
It's not a real...
Get in the basement, nerd.
It's not a real language, is it? From Ed Butt in Frankfort, Michigan. I've been taking 2 full aspirin tablets at bedtime since long before doctors started saying to take a baby aspirin for your heart. I'm certainly not going to stop now just because Dr. Oz says so. I'm not a lawyer anymore, but I still live by that lawyer's creed. I don't get ulcers. I give them. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Do it live! I can all write it, and we'll do it live!
I'm selfish. I always made your problems about me. I can't help it. I wish I had a little empathy for you. But that night that you told me that I don't work hard enough, told me I cried too much, ripped me to pieces and called it love. Oh, when I never handled it quite like I wanted to, what was I supposed to do knowing that both of us had enough? But when you think of me, I hope you think of Joshua Tree, that summer where the road went on forever, no end in sight for us. When you think of me, I hope you think of the letters that I sent you from across town just cause I missed you when the worst was yet to come. Cause you know I do what I think of you. Yeah, you know I do what I think of you. You're careless, always saying things you didn't mean. Took me for granted, expected me to find in between. But that night that I told you that I wouldn't marry you, swear I could feel from the floor to the ceiling your walls came up. So then I'd pull you closer and you'd push me further, and nothing would matter. We kept getting sadder and called it love. But when you think of me, I hope you think of Joshua Tree, that summer where the road went on forever, no end in sight for us. When you think of me, I hope you think of the letters that I sent you from across town just cause I missed you when the worst was yet to come. Cause you know I do what I think of you. Yeah, you know I do what I think of you. I think of New Year's in San Francisco, drunk on my roof looking at you wrapped up in your coat. So tell me, my dear, what do you think? Don't you remember why we fell in love? Oh, when you think of me, I hope you think of Joshua Tree, that summer where the road went on forever, no end in sight for us. When you think of me, I hope you think of the letters that I sent you from across town just cause I missed you when the worst was yet to come. Cause you know I do when I think of you. Oh baby, yeah, you know I do when I think of you. I think of you, I think of you, baby. I ain't thinking about me, baby.
But I do. One more night we can undo. Are you losing me or am I losing you? I'm so over this. But let's just agree right now, we're not gonna break up. Cause I can't speak if I think you're gonna walk away. There's nobody else out there that's gonna come save. You just shut up and hear what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we get too close. Sometimes we can't let go. Right now I'm overdosed, but I'm never over you. And I know I overthink, and it makes you overdrink.
keeping me. I don't know what it is, but I just can't leave. Sometimes we get too close, sometimes we can't let go. Right now I'm overdosed, but I'm never over you. And I know I overthink, and it makes you overdrink. And we say things we don't need, but I'm never over. Sometimes we can let go. Right now I'm overdosed, but I'm never.